Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. I love seeing them enjoy this math program and grow in their mathematical journey. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children." If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. We are back again with the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast and back again with Abinella doing another Q&A.
I love Q&As.
I do too. Q&As are fun. I like answering
questions. I have so many Qs. I should do a Q&A with you where I just ask the questions and you answer.
Oh, that would be fun. Do you give me the questions ahead of time?
No.
Are there going to be like spontaneous questions?
On your toes.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Yeah, I could do it.
Like, how do you fake like you know the math question that your kid just asked you?
Oh, I don't.
Just kidding. I don't either. Can we go watch the lesson together?
Never. Yes. So many times I'm like, yeah, let's watch that again.
Yeah, I'm going to watch that with you so I can really see that you're paying attention. Just kidding. And I'm overtaking notes.
No. My girls know better than to ask me math questions. Like, go ask dad.
Because
I don't know. Or call Auntie Cece, who knows all things about math. Oh, it's good to have math nerds in your life because
I love math. It's weird, but when my kids call me in to ask me a math question, they don't like it because then I'm like, oh, I want to explain it 10 ways. Like, yeah. I thrive. It's fun. Like, I'm like, can I do it? Okay, do you want to know something terribly embarrassing?
Yes.
I like was in their room doing some of the math problem. It fuels me.
For
like,
fun?
Give me an algebraic equation and I love it.
No.
Like, I really like it.
How are we friends?
It's weird. It's because there's order in math and you know me. I am like ducks in a row.
Oh, but I mean, I like order too, but I hate math.
Math. Ugh. And you know what's interesting about math? It's very like math. People that like math don't like geometry usually. Not, I guess really? I shouldn't say that across the board, but geometry is different than math. I'm terrible at geometry. Awful. Horrible. Don't even ask me the difference between a square and a rectangle because that's not real math. That's just other things. Like shapes.
Oh my goodness.
Shapes everywhere. So anyway, there's some fun facts. I like math. So if your kids have a math question.
Well, I will never, ever, ever, ever do math for fun. That is not something you would ever find me doing.
No, I'm embarrassed to say it.
You shouldn't be embarrassed. It's how God created you, Abby. Okay. On purpose and for a purpose.
For a purpose.
Oh my goodness. Okay. So let's jump into this next question. This one says, is it possible to homeschool our nonverbal autistic toddler? He is 3 and I know it's still early, but people keep telling me he needs preschool and that I'm not going to be able to do it. He plays with other kids and he gets occupational therapy and speech therapy and home weekly. I just can't fathom sending him to school. He has never been away from us.
Hmm.
Oh,
wow.
Wow is right. First I want to say, to those who are the naysayers of people who have children who have special needs, stop it. I don't imagine that very many people listening to this podcast are those naysayers, but if you have those people in your life,
turn them off.
And that doesn't mean, you know, I mean, if it's your mom, find other things to talk with her about. You know, there are people in my life who are naysayers about certain things in my world. And so I have learned to just not bring up those topics with them. Mm-hmm. And I think it's just become kind of an understanding that we have a lot of other wonderful things in the world to talk about, but we're not going to talk about this one specific thing. Mm-hmm. We have said over and over and over again on the podcast, God has given you your children with their special abilities and disabilities and bents and talents and giftings and everything. And it's not been by mistake that he has made you their parent. Mm-hmm. God is not going, oh man, I really blew it. I didn't mean to give this person, this child who has these special needs. So this person needs to now send this child off to someone else in order to educate them and raise them up. God has given you your child and he has given you everything you need in order to raise up this child to love them, because nobody's going to love them like you do. Nobody knows your child, especially, I want to say, especially with a child who has any kind of special needs. No one is going to care for your child the way that you're going to care for that child. They can't, because no one knows them as well as you do. And so don't let anybody tell you that you're incapable of teaching the child that God has given to you. That's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. And so just know that you have all that it takes in order to educate this child from birth all the way through adulthood. And there are resources. It doesn't mean you can't use resources. We have had Peggy Ployer on the podcast in the past. Yes. She's from SPED Homeschool, and I'll put a link to their ministry in the show notes. They are a great resource for people who have kids with special needs. There are so many resources out there that you can utilize that will help you through this process, and lots of other parents who are going through the same thing who will encourage you. So surround yourself with people who are going to encourage you to do what God's called you to do, not discourage you to not be able to do it.
Yeah. And I think the very beginning of your question, this was your question, is it possible? And I would go to Matthew 19, where it says, with man, it's impossible, but with God, all things are possible. And that's not what I'm telling you. That's not my opinion. That's not a public school teacher's opinion. That's not a special ed teacher's opinion or your mother's opinion.
Right.
That's the opinion of God. The God that made that child and the God that made you. So is it possible? It is possible. And not only is it possible, it's the best thing that you could do for that child. There is nowhere that a nonverbal autistic three-year-old is going to be better, is going to thrive more than at home with you. And you said, you know, it makes you feel sick, or I can't remember your words, but basically it makes you feel sick, basically, to think of sending this child. Well, you know what? I tell so many moms who say, oh my gosh, I cry when I send my five-year-old to kindergartner. It's the worst feeling. And I said, there's a reason that you feel that way. Yeah. There is a reason that you cry. There's a reason that it makes you feel sick. You know what it is? Because you're not supposed to do it.
Right.
Because that child was made to be with you. And so it's not only possible, but it's going to be incredible. That child will be far ahead, far better off, far greater chance of thriving at home with you. And I will reiterate what Yvette said, is there, you're not alone. There are more families now than ever that are homeschooling special needs kids. And there are quote unquote experts that will agree that homeschool is the best place and will help you along the way. You're not alone.
Yeah. Another resource is HSLDA, the mm-hmm. Homeschool Legal Defense Association. They actually have a whole, you know, department that focuses on special education and helping parents who have children who have special needs.
Yeah.
And so they will help walk you through it. If you are a member of HSLDA, which every single homeschool family should be a member of HSLDA, because they are the ones who are fighting for our freedom. And as a side note, if you are not, please, please, please become a member. We don't get anything from it. I'm not trying to sell you on anything, because we, you know, get any kind of kickback for it. It's because where our nation is right now, people are trying to take away the rights of parents to educate their children. HSLDA is so vitally important, and your state homeschool organizations are so vitally important to fighting for us and keeping our rights as homeschoolers. So if you are a member of HSLDA or of your state homeschool organization, reach out to them. One of them, I don't know what state you're in, but you can find your organization through HSLDA. Reach out to them and find the help that you need, because they will help you. That's what they exist for, and they will help walk you through this. So that's a great question. And, the Lord will get you through it. He is.
It's not faithful. Only possible, but it's the best thing you can do. We just want to reiterate that.
Yep, absolutely.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
All right, these are two questions, and I'm just going to kind of group these together. So I'm going to read the first one, and then I'm going to read the second one because they're so similar. This one says, I have a first grade boy who loves math and science, but he struggles when I try to teach him to read or write. He often gets so mad and it ends in tears. What are your suggestions or a curriculum that has worked well for a similar situation? Again, first grade boy. Okay. The next question is, my first grade daughter fights me about doing school 3 out of 4 days per week. Today, she acted as if she'd never seen her math work before, when yesterday she did 2 pages without help. I know she's anxious about the change in our family with a new baby coming, but and this is the part that I really want to focus on. She says, but we have to continue to get her work done because I will need to take some time off when the baby is born. I feel like she's fighting me, so I will give in and not make her do it. So we've got 2 first graders here. We've got a first grade boy and a first grade girl. First grade boy loves math and science, struggles to read and write. First grade girl basically is fighting her mama on everything. Now let's go back to the ages of first graders. We're talking about
7 years old, 6 and 7 years old, 6.
Yeah, yeah, probably.
And you know what? I don't know the laws in all states. In my state, along with many others, the actual age that is required to even teach a child is 7, because people that set this up know that 5 and 6 year olds, they have an attention span that's much shorter. Yeah. Their best way to learn is just through life and living. And hey, mama, with a first grade boy who hates to sit and read, congratulations. You have a normal boy.
Yes.
My guess is your boy would rather be climbing trees and running around outside. And you know what? Praise God for that. So I would say in first grade, I was also a kindergarten and first grade teacher. And I would say one of the best things you can do is, while he's playing Legos, turn on an audiobook. Mm-hmm. He might hate reading because at that age, at first grade, here's just a little bit of how their brain works. In first grade, he's not enjoying the story because it's hard for him to dissect the words and put the words together phonetically. So it's two very different things. It's not like your first grader is going to probably sit down and enjoy. Some do, but most likely not a first grade boy. So while he's being busy doing normal first grade boy things, maybe turn on an audiobook. The first thing you could do is give him a love for story. Give him a love for reading. Read to him. And eventually he's going. Also, if he's very science and math minded, he may not end up being a strong. He might not. He just may never be a strong reader. Mm-hmm. But you don't. That's first grade. We're not going to know that in first grade. Give him a love for story. Give him a love for being told story. Turn on an audiobook. The reading will come. He's in first grade. If you guys are doing more than 2 hours of school with your first grader, stop it. Yeah. Just stop it. If you're doing more than an hour of sitting down. Yeah.
Yeah.
And when I'm saying 2 hours, I'm talking, that means reading aloud. That means listening to audiobooks. Just stop, because it's insane. There's no way. And that's why this first grade girl's mom is getting so frustrated, because they're not made to. Their little brains are not developed to. You are going to be bucking her, and she is going to be bucking you. And the problem with that is she's going to learn to hate school.
Yep.
She's going to learn to hate school. So back off. And who in the world told you that you had to have all her lessons done before that baby came? You're going to have a baby. And you know what? A wise, wise mom told me once, who had 6 children, that every time she had a baby, they took a year off of school.
Yeah.
Now, some people may be shocked to hear that, but let me tell you about this mom's children. Doctors, lawyers, all incredibly successful career people, and they all thrived and did very well in school, because we sometimes think that the hours we put in matter more than they really do. Right. So when that baby comes, just teach that little girl how to be a mama.
That's right.
And she's going to get a greater education than any amount of book work.
Right.
First grade parents need to take a deep breath, relax, and let their first graders be first graders.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay. They're going to be okay.
Yeah, I love it, Abby. I love everything you just said.
I'm so passionate about that. So passionate about not pushing these kids early. And also, statistically, kids that are pushed early do no better in the long run. And kids that learn to read really, really young, you know, with the parents that boast that their kids read at 4, they are no better readers statistically than kids that learned to read at, say, 7.
Or they 10. Just aren't.
Or 10. Because just stop it.
They are going to learn what they need to learn when it's time for them to learn what their, how their bodies were made to learn. This goes back to us listening to what society has told us. And society has said, we have to start kids in kindergarten at age 4. Mm-hmm. And we have to sit them in front of a desk and put a bunch of stupid worksheets in front of them, mm-hmm. and make them, you know, check off all the boxes and take the tests and take the quizzes and do the thing that their bodies were not created to do.
No.
And then we wonder
early of an age.
And then
we drug them when they can't sit still.
Right, right. They need to just be playing. They need to play outside. Again, listen to our podcast with Jenny about 1,000 hours outside. If you have not heard that one, listen to it because it's so powerful and it will give you a completely different mindset about having your kids outside and academically, the importance of them being outside and climbing trees and you know, finding rocks and balancing on, you know, logs and things like that. But yes, kids were not meant to have to sit and do, you know, check off the boxes that she did all the worksheets and now the baby's born. And so now I can breathe and rest.
Right. And that mom said she's afraid. This is why I'm afraid she's going to get behind. And I want to say this, behind who?
Right.
Who is she going to get behind? Because God made your family unique. God knew when you were going to have a baby. Who are you comparing that child to? The masses that are sitting in desks every day? Because again, if you're into statistics, homeschoolers are ahead with the amount of hours that we're doing. So when I hear moms say they're going to get behind, stop it. Behind who? I mean, who are you afraid of getting behind? You're not going to get behind.
Yeah.
Yep. These are first graders. My guess would be both of these moms, their first graders are their oldest, because we tend to do that with our first child.
Right.
I did that with my first child and I almost ruined my first child. And luckily I had a wise mom exhort me honestly in that and said, just stop and let them be children.
Yep. I love it. You know, we are a living example of this. When Lacey, my youngest, was she had just turned six. That was the year that we left California and we spent the following year. So her year of her, you know, 6-7 year old year, which would have been her first grade year, I suppose, if you put a grade on her. We spent a large majority of that year traveling and filming for Schoolhouse Rocked. And so we didn't do a lot of what most would consider academic school, but we did a lot of audiobooks, like you said, and we read to her a lot. And then I taught her, you know, just her kind of her basic phonics, but I didn't do any kind of, we didn't do worksheets. We didn't do any kind of hardcore curriculum. And guess what? She learned to read when she was ready. And she's a fantastic reader now. And do you know what she, what got her to be a strong reader was reading the Bible out loud. We do our family quiet time every day. And still every single day, Garrett has both of our girls read from God's word. And it will just be, you know, a few verses, sometimes a whole chapter, depending on how long it is. But every day for years and years since they were teeny tiny, they read from the word of God. And I'm like, if you can read the Bible, you can read anything.
Anything.
And when they stumble on a word, we stop and we help them. Okay, sound it out. You know, when there's two vowels, you know, the first one does talk and blah, 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 blah. And so we help them sound stuff out. We help them work through anything that they stumble on. But they learn to read. Mm-hmm. And she's going to learn the things that she needs to learn without, like you said, Abby, hating school, because so many kids learn to hate school because we push them. We push them
way too early
to check the boxes and they're not ready for it. So if your kids are fighting you on it, and if they're in first grade, if they're in second grade, if they're even in third grade, slow down. allow them to love learning and regroup. Reevaluate what you're doing. If your kids are fighting you on it, reevaluate what you're doing. Go back and listen to our podcast that we did on I Hate Homeschooling. And on that one, we talked about, you know, some of the struggles that people find with homeschooling, and we gave you some ways to work through those struggles. But if that's a struggle for you or your child, go back and listen to that. And I think that will be an encouragement to you. So, so thank you. I want to just read one last comment very quickly, and then we're going to tie this up. And this was just such a blessing. And again, I just, I stand in awe of what the Lord is doing through this podcast and through the Schoolhouse Rocked ministry. And so we got this comment from Jesse, and it was just such a blessing. So I'm just going to read it. It's not a question. It's just a comment. But Jessie said, hello. She said, I just had to let you know how much I relate to what you were saying about getting teenagers outside on the episode with Ginny, and thank you for some inspiration. Our family spends a ton of time outside, and my 13-year-old is always eager to go out and hike and fish or do a million things. Unfortunately, finding someone besides his family is getting hard. I've been watching in horror as most of his friends just want to skip activities and sit inside playing video games. I've been praying over this for a while, and after listening to your episode, it hit me. People are still looking for ways to get their big kids outside, but they just don't know how. I started calling other moms, and our little circle of friends is starting a homeschool outdoor activity club for the middle and high schoolers. I'm going to get some kids outside again a couple times a month. I know it's small, but I really wanted to thank you for your openness about knowing about not knowing where to start with older kids. It made me feel less alone and opened my eyes to new possibilities. You guys are such a blessing. So, Jesse, thank you for that encouragement. I will pass that on to Ginny Urich from 1000 Hours Outside and let her know what a blessing that episode was to you. And, you know, this goes kind of back to the first question that we answered in the very beginning from Shelley is here's a mom who sees that there's a need and she's like, I'm going to just do something about it. Instead of sitting and fretting over it, I'm going to do something about it. And she is. And so, Jesse, that's exciting. I would love to know, follow up with us in a few months, because I would really love to know how it's going and what kind of impact this is having on your family and on the other middle school and high schoolers in your area who are now getting together to do outdoor activities. But thank you for listening, and thank you for sending us that encouraging message. So we are out of time. Thank you again for listening. You guys are an absolute blessing. We love you so much. Abby, thank you for joining me again today.
Thank you.
And for answering these questions with me. We will be back again with you next week with another fantastic episode. And again, if you have questions for us that we can answer, please email us at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. And we will do our very best to answer them. Thank you guys. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.